Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If you missed any of our Patriots Monday and Friday interviews, go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to the Greg Hill Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of the Greg Hill Show
on WEEI.
Give me some Nickelback. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm a big Nickelback guy, as you are well acquainted with. You might be surprised. Shime's voice is first. No Fitzy. Where did Fitzy go? Well, Fitzy's having a couple technical difficulties. He's figuring things out, but we will continue to muster forward here as best we can without him until he returns, and I have no doubt that he will return to us at some point here. But as we were going to discuss, the New England Patriots season is slowly getting here, you know, with basketball and hockey over now and us just right in the middle of everything Red Sox. We look forward to football a little bit here coming up in September. Preseason will start come beginning of August, so we're only like a month away here. I mean, the Patriots are going to be in camp soon. And some betting numbers have come out for Drake May. And it's interesting because I feel like there's been some conflicting Vegas numbers when it comes to Drake May. About a week or so ago, numbers came out that indicated that Jacoby Brissett should theoretically start week one for your New England Patriots. He was something like a minus 220 favorite to start week one for the New England Patriots over Drake May, which seemed odd, at least to me. I've always been a huge Drake May guy, as many who listen to this program on a regular basis know. I have been pumping Drake May's tires since before he was drafted by the New England Patriots. Big fan, even though, you know, Greg and Curtis will ask you about the hitch or whatever. That doesn't exist. Don't worry about it. More odds came out about Drake May earlier this week. Odds of his passing yards total, his passing touchdowns total, and his regular season interceptions total. And it was interesting because you look at those numbers – And those numbers don't necessarily indicate to me that he would only be starting a handful of games this year. I understand that there the odds indicate that Jacoby Brissett will start the season. But when it comes to Drake May, they set his numbers pretty high overall, right? So Drake May's numbers set for this season, his passing yards total is at 3,100. 3,100 and a half. Regular season passing touchdowns, 15 and a half. And regular season interceptions at 12 and a half. And to me, that indicates that he's going to play like 14 games, maybe, right? He's only going to miss maybe the first two or three thereabouts. I don't think you make the numbers that high if you, unless you expect this guy to be throwing a lot, which with this coaching staff and with the plan that it looks like, at least for now, is going to be in place, it doesn't feel like the Patriots are going to be a pass-heavy offense, right? It looks as though the Patriots are probably going to rely on the run game a lot. They gave Ramondre Stevenson a massive contract for a reason. They signed Antonio Gibson to a contract to bring him in to dispel Ramondre and to kind of be a little bit of that third down back. But like when you look at Drake May's numbers for this season, Justin Herbert last year in 2023, Justin Herbert in 13 games, remember he was injured for a large portion of the season there. So in 13 games, Justin Herbert threw for 3,100 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Basically, that indicates to me Drake May, they project to play 13 games. So that would be 17 game season. He'd sit the first 4 weeks. He would sit the first month of the season. And that would mean that the Vegas believes Drake May's first start should be probably against Miami in week 5. That would be Sunday, October 6th, against Miami at home, 1 o'clock game, which would make a lot of sense, right? If you don't expect to start Drake May in week 1, that to me seems like a good time. You're not going to start him in San Francisco in week 3. You're not going to start him in New York against the, or I'm sorry, in week 4. You're not going to start him in New York against the Jets in week 3. And then if you're going to start Jacoby Brissett, you're not going to just start him for a game. So he's going to play at least a couple. So that first month of the season is what it looks like Vegas has Drake May missing. And then he would take over and play the following remaining 13 games on the schedule. And so he would average about 240 yards a game at this number if he was only to play 13 games, which to me seems, I would assume that like the yards per game number seems right. I would say 240 is about accurate. I may believe that it would probably be a little higher, but then again, it's all going to come down to how good this Patriots defense is as well, right? If the Patriots defense is creating turnovers, creating good field position, Drake May's not going to have a long way to go. They're going to be able to run the football more. It's going to be more of an effective offense than it was last year. At times, what happened last year is that the offense was so inept, they would give the other team fantastic field position, and their defense would be gassed because they were constantly on the field. If that's different this year, if this offense has any semblance of an actual NFL offense and can maintain possession, maintain drives, actually score touchdowns and not just come away with field goals constantly, actually get into the red zone, that number is probably about right for Drake May, the 3,100. I don't believe that he's only going to play 13 games. I don't see the reasoning for it. I don't understand. Like, if you're going to play him 13 games, you might as well play him all 17. What is the first four going to do that's going to ruin him, all right, that the other 13 wouldn't? And there's been a lot of people who have argued with me and who have very firmly stood up and made the point that he needs to sit and he needs to watch behind Jacoby Brissett. And I get that to a point, but some guys just don't learn that way, right? Like, some people just don't learn that way. You don't learn by watching or by being told how to do it. You learn by actually doing it and making the mistakes and seeing how you could have done things differently, how you could have approached the situation from a different angle or a different perspective and allowed yourself to figure out the answer on your own. I don't know exactly how Drake May learns. I'm not a coach. I'm not in that room every single day. So I can't tell you if he'd be better off sitting for 4 games. But if you're going to sit him for 4 games, why wouldn't you sit him for 6 or 8 games? Sit him for half the season. It concerns me that Vegas seems to be very much under the impression that it would be 4 games that he would miss. I don't understand why there's a 4-game denomination here, right? Why is it that it's, okay, yeah, he just doesn't need to play the month of September, but he can play every time after that. He can play the other 13 games. I guess someone would have to explain that to me. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on Drake May's projected numbers. As I said, his passing touchdowns number is 15. His interceptions is 12. I think those two numbers are much more representative of a full season, to me at least, than necessarily the passing yards number. When you look at touchdowns last year, right, 15 would be right around where Gardner Minshew was for the Colts, and he played almost the entire season outside of the first few games because of Anthony Richardson. Joe Burrow only played 10 games, had 15 touchdowns, so that's Joe Burrow. So I guess, I guess 15 touchdowns is probably in line with about the 13 games starting. Justin Herbert was at 20, but Herbert, in my opinion, is a better, more completed version of what Drake May could be at some point. And then the interceptions number is at 12. I think that's just kind of a rookie number. I don't think that is necessarily indicative of how long he'll be playing during the season. It seems odd to me that 12 seems a little high if you're only playing 13 games. I don't expect Drake May to throw an interception a game, right? The people that threw 12 plus interceptions last year, all of them played at least 16 games except for Desmond Ridder and Mac Jones. I don't expect Drake May to be Mac Jones. I don't. I expect him to be much more competent, much better. And again, if you're starting with better field position and this is going to be a more run-focused offense, it's not going to matter. He's not going to throw nearly as many picks. So I'm curious what your thought is on that. 617-779-7937 here. 37937 if you want to text in. People are already yelling at me claiming I have a Mickey Mouse voice, which is weird. My voice is a little high. I don't think it's that squeaky. Jackson, is my voice squeaky? Would you characterize me as squeaky?
I wouldn't say squeaky. I mean, it's got a little Mickey Mouse tendency sometimes, but not consistently.
Yeah, like I have some high-pitched notes to me. I get that. I understand. That I'm not the most I don't have the bass voice, you know. I have a higher voice. I get that. It's fine. I was fat and high to high voice. It didn't really go together, but it is what it is.
To be honest, your voice has changed since you became Skinny Shime.
Thank you.
Like, you notice in the
Soprano Shime. Thank you, Robin, a golf course.
The pre-show reads, like, the from the best of, and you can tell one of them's a little bit old because it just sounds, like, different. You sound much more clear and confident now.
Yeah, you know, Jackson, that's what happens when you lose, like, 50 pounds or half a person sometimes. And it's nice. It feels good. But we'll try and get Fitzy reconnected here. He is dealing with some technical difficulties, so right now it's just Shime, but I will get you caught up on what's trending.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You're waking up with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Want Boston sports 24/7? It's easy. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Greg Hill Show today. Originally, it was Shimon Fitzy. Fitzy has been dealing with some technical issues. Sometimes things, electrical things, just tend to blow up right in your face and in your ears. And that seems to be what happened to Fitzy. So it's just Shime at the moment here, filling in for the Greg Hill Show. Jackson also here, and associate producer Tom back there as well. So shout out to them for the help. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in this morning. I was just talking about Drake May, his projected stats for the season according to Vegas and kind of where that slots him in on how many games he will play this year. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming up. But first, I needed to get to this call because Johnny in Mass has an opinion on chicken tenders. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, Shine Time. What's up?
What's up, brother?
So the difference is, Johnny Cakes here, by the way.
Oh, what's up, Johnny Cakes?
The difference.
Welcome back.
What's up? Good lip syncing there, by the way. You look like you're having a real good time.
That song hits. That if you like anybody that likes that song knows that song just hits different sometimes. So I had to let it breathe a little bit. But
it's
go ahead.
It's one of those ones that put you in a good mood.
Yeah, always.
Jackson, you stick to the Pearl Jam.
What's up, Johnny Cakes?
What's up, big guy? All right, so the difference between tenders and wings is not about cartilage and bones. It's the color of the meat. Dark meat, Shine Time.
Okay.
Gives it the flavor.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right, thanks, Johnny Cakes. Look at that. Johnny Cakes laying a little knowledge on you. And Fitzy would argue, he's like, as long as if there's no bone in it, it's a finger or a tender and not a wing. But there you go. Johnny Cakes indicates that the difference between a boneless wing and a chicken tender is the type of chicken meat that's being used, dark meat versus white meat,
I guess. Think I've ever had a tender with dark meat. Have you? I mean, is that a thing?
I don't know. So I don't really, I'm thinking about it, noodling on it, if you will. I know the difference between dark meat turkey and white meat turkey.
Just about to say that.
But when I think about it, like, I don't know if I know the difference between dark meat chicken and white meat chicken.
I did not really honestly know there was dark meat chicken. That sounds yucky to me.
I know there's a significant difference between like a chicken wing, a chicken thigh, and a chicken breast, right? Like
chicken thighs are dark meatish, yeah.
Yeah, right. So I think maybe that's the direction he's talking about. I'm not exactly sure, but there you go, Brian in the Twitch chat. Shout out to Brian running our Twitch today. Good job by him. Dark meat is the thighs and legs.
Excellent.
Whereas white meat would be the breasts. Okay. Good job by you, Brian. Thank you.
Problem solved.
There you go. Okay, Jackson, we're solving every issue you need here on the Replacement Greg Hill Show, talking about chicken wings.
Except for the equipment trolls. We can't solve that issue yet.
Yeah, we'll sometimes there's gremlins in the systems that kind of ruin some things. So, but you know, it's fine. We're gonna make things work. We're gonna make things. I'm gonna move and shake as needed. We're gonna figure it out. It's not a big deal. You know, we're gonna keep doing it. So. In the last segment, we were talking about Drake May, his projected stat totals for the year. According to Vegas, his odds, his numbers are set at 3,100 yards, 15 touchdowns, 12 interceptions on the season, which would indicate that he's probably playing about 13 games, which would mean he makes his first start against the Miami Dolphins at home in October. With that in mind, I kind of wanted to go back to a tweet that I really liked, because I was getting a lot of not a lot, but a few texts here talking about how things to consider. If you follow, this is from a 617 text. Hey, Flex Time. What's up? Follow the money. They're not paying Brissett $8 million to sit on the bench. He'll get the majority of the first half of the season. And there is a lot of Mac hate. I get it. But if Drake could have half the season Mac did at the midway point of the season, I think that's the best you can ask for. And I would actually strongly disagree. I think if you're hoping that Drake May has a season like Mac did last year and Drake being a rookie this year, I think that's underselling what you should be expecting of a rookie quarterback that you took third overall. I'm not saying that he's going to be CJ Stroud. I love Drake May. I would have taken him number one overall. That's how much I liked him, right? I'm firmly established there. But I think people overrate the issues on the Patriots offense, not named Mac Jones, right? When they talk about the receivers in the offensive line, I immediately got a text as soon as I brought this back up that the Drake is going to suck because our offensive line sucks. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. The offensive line is going to be better, right? The Patriots went out. They at least brought in Chucks Okorafor, who will hopefully be a figure at tackle. It won't be just a total turnstile, right? On when he's back on a contract, hopefully David Andrews is a little bit better. You have Nick Leverett to play one of the other guards, knowing that Cole Strange is injured. And I actually think Leverett's probably an upgrade over Cole Strange anyways. I'm not a big Cole Strange fan. And then you have a guy like City So in the wings as well there, who I think could actually make not like a big leap, but like a decent step forward here. And again, be better than what Cole Strange brought you. I thought Cole Strange was awful a lot of the times. But there was a tweet from Warren Sharp the other day that I wanted to bring up just to kind of bring back that conversation about Mac Jones and kind of what to expect from Drake May this year. Warren Sharp tweeted, the percent of third down incompletions, which were due to receiver error, right? So one of the big complaints that I have heard from many, many fans, and I think that I will still see it on the text line even as we talk about it now, is that Mac's receivers sucked. They were so useless. They couldn't help. Oh, it was Kayshon Booty's fault that he didn't get 2 feet in bounds. Oh, this on Tyquan Thornton dropping balls and Juju Smith-Schuster dropping a ball over the middle of the field that turned into an interception and blah, blah, blah. Well, on third downs, the percentage of incompletions, which were due to receiver error, for Mac Jones was 9%. Now, you may ask, where does that rank Mac Jones in the entirety of the NFL? Well, that puts him third from last. That means he had the third least amount of receiver errors on third downs. Okay? When you look at it, the only people with less were Zach Wilson and Russell Wilson, which kind of makes sense. They both stink too. And Mac Jones stinks. So a lot of the reason Mac was having incompletions on third down and not able to convert and not able to move the change was not because of bad receiver play, but in fact, because Mac Jones just stunk, right? And I expect Drake May to be much more in that middle class here, right? Where you're looking at guys like Joe Flacco, Derek Carr, Josh Allen, maybe in there and like the 16%, where May is going to put the ball on his receivers. He's going to give them the chance. Now it's just a matter of whether or not those receivers can make the play. And I think you look at this receiver core this year, adding a guy like Jalen Polk, who I told Fitzy yesterday, bold take was that Polk was going to be one of the best draft picks you make, because I love that kid. I think he's going to be awesome. And so I think he could have an immediate impact. I think he's an upgrade over what you had last year a little bit. Kendrick Bourne will be back and playing hopefully a full season, not injured, and he will be a contributing factor there. You have Pop Douglas, another year into his career here, in that one full year into his career, he's going to be back for his second year. He's going to be better. So you're going to have options, especially in the short and intermediate range. Again, Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk, Kendrick Bourne are all going to thrive in that short to intermediate range. And I think the way the Patriots want to run this offense is going to be a lot of running the football and a lot of play action. And they're going to take their shots downfield, because with a guy like Drake May, that's what you do. The guy has a freaking rocket arm. Like, you take your shots downfield. But I think a lot of it is going to be in that short and intermediate, because that's what the receivers excel at. You look at a guy like Pop Douglas, that's exactly what his kind of repertoire is, right? He moves and shakes at the offensive line, at the line of scrimmage. He gets open immediately. That's kind of what he's good at. The Patriots asked him to do more than that last year, and he kind of met expectations and was good. But I think that's what you're going to see a lot of out of this offense. So to assume that Drake May just needs to have the kind of season Mack had last year is undershooting what you should be expecting of Drake May. I'll say it. Like, I know people, not everybody's as high on Drake May as I am. But I'm telling you, like, Drake May is this good. And then another text here: we lost by 6 points or less in like seven games. That's right. Mack didn't start all those games. Some of them were started by Bailey Zappe. Neither of those two guys are good. You should expect to win games more often like that this year. Okay? Your win total set at 4.5. To me, it's too low. It's almost insulting. This team should not be at 4.5. wins on the season. This team should be somewhere around 6.5 to 7 is kind of the number that I'm at. Because, right, I don't know the exact number. I could go back and look at the schedule from last year, but say you lost 6 games by one score or less. And you should win half of those this year. Sometimes, you know, people make fun of it all the time, but the puck luck in hockey, there's football luck sometimes in football. There's the bounce of the ball. There's luck in the game. It happens sometimes, and sometimes things just don't go your way, right? You look at a team a couple years ago, like the Minnesota Vikings, who were, I want to say, like 7-1 in one-score games, which is silly. That's not sustainable. That's not something you should expect. In one-score games, you should be about 500. And the really good teams, the excellent teams, the teams like your Kansas City Chiefs or your Detroit Lions, your San Francisco 49ers, those are the teams that are going to be more like 6-2 or 7-1 in one-score games, because they're just really talented and they know how to kind of finagle the bagel there at the end of the game. But for the New England Patriots, asking them to be 3-3 in 6 one-score games, I think, is very reasonable. And if you ask them to do that, that means they only need to win 2 games that aren't one-score games, and you're already over your 4.5-game win total. I don't quite understand where Vegas is coming from. And look, Vegas tends to know a lot of things. They're pretty good with their numbers a lot of the time, not all the time. Sometimes they make mistakes too. They don't expect things. There's curveballs. Every NFL season, there's always curveballs to be thrown. And I think the Patriots could be one of them. I think the Patriots could offer up a lot of opportunity. They're underdogs in almost, I want to say, all but one game next season, which is insane to me. I don't think the Patriots team is great. I don't think they're, you know, Super Bowl bound. I'm not even sure that they're playoff bound, but to fight for a playoff spot seems reasonable. To fight for 8-9, 9-8 seems fair. There's winnable games on the schedule. Like Cincinnati week 1, Joe Burrow is still not 100% here, folks. It's not a guarantee. And look, Jake Browning was fine last year for them, so they may be able to win that game even without Joe Burrow, but the Patriots can compete in a game like that. You get a team like Seattle coming to New England, that's a game the Patriots can compete in. You can compete against the New York Jets. I don't know exactly what the Jets are going to be at this point. Who knows if Aaron Rodgers is going to decide to show up from his darkness retreat or getting high on ayahuasca and actually be able to participate in this NFL season. So those Jets games become winnable. Miami is winnable. Bill Belichick struggled against Miami over the last few years, especially post-Tom Brady. Tua has owned us. But, I mean, you know, things aren't perfect down there right now. They had some cap casualties. They had some offensive line issues. There's ways to beat the Miami Dolphins. You look at a team like Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a very beatable team. Tennessee, beatable team. Chicago, who I think will be better than most people give them credit for, is still a winnable game. Right, they're really talented, especially on offense, and I think that defense is actually pretty good out in Chicago as well. But for the New England Patriots, that's a winnable game. Arizona Cardinals, winnable game. LA Chargers, win it. Like you find there's spots on the schedule that are winnable games. And I just don't see a scenario where the Patriots win only four games again. They have a better quarterback. The offensive line will be a little bit more secure. The receiving core should be slightly better and healthier. And then the defense is going to be, in my opinion, a top five defense in football. Like, that's one of the biggest factors of this, is if your defense isn't on the field for 70% of the game like they were last year, and they actually do get some rest, they are going to create a lot of short field opportunities for you. And if you can at least just get the ball to the red zone, you have opportunities to actually score touchdowns where this team wasn't able to do that last year. 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Pats, let's go to Bob in New Hampshire wants to talk Pats. What's up, Bob?
Hey, John. Hey, I was just curious. I'm listening to your optimism on the Pats, and believe you me, I fully agree with you. But on the other side of the coin, in reality, I think they're going to go from even much bad to worse, and I'm not sure there's even any direction of fixing this. You know.
So why do you think they're going to go from bad to worse?
They've got, at best, limited talent, and they've got a coach. Nothing against the new coach, but first year getting into this, the people that he has surrounded himself with, again, questionable in certain areas, as so I'm told. I'm not the big person, but, you know, I'm a realist, and even if they were attempting, unlike the Boston Celtics, and not just because the Celtics won, but if the Celtics, or if they're free agents, and the Celtics are looking to improve themselves in whatever manner, they may have an opportunity to get a big man that says, you know, I'm going to go with these guys, much like Brady. Right now, the Patriots, after this year, I don't know if anybody would even, regardless of getting paid, traditionally money talks, I think the Patriots are going to be in tough shape, even trying to get some much-needed help, good help. That's just my opinion. That's all.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Yeah, look, I don't disagree that getting free agents is going to be difficult for the New England Patriots. I think it's, you saw it kind of this past season, too, with the Red Sox. I think it's difficult for them right now as well. You know, back-to-back last-place finishes for them. They're not necessarily willing to pay at the top of the market. You're not going to get the best players. That's just kind of how it goes. If you're not amazing, if your team isn't championship-bound every year like the Boston Celtics, and you don't have a generational player or the greatest player of all time like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, it becomes very difficult to court free agents to your city, unless you're willing to pay at the top of the market. And the Patriots haven't shown that they're willing to pay at the top of the market. You look at, Calvin Ridley is example number one right away. This past offseason, you had an opportunity to bring in a receiver that's better than anything you had, maybe like a 1B, but still a legitimate number one receiver, a legitimate stud receiver, and you wouldn't overpay. Instead, you allowed the Tennessee Titans to come in and get him because they don't have state income taxes, and so their money goes a little bit farther than yours, and you wouldn't overpay. And that's the decision that you made as ownership in the front office. But going forward, you're going to have to pay a little bit. I think, fortunately, Bob, I think there's an opportunity there where Drake May becomes a target like C.J. Stroud is right now for the Houston Texans, right? I think when you asked Stephon Diggs when he got traded to Houston, was he happy about it? Yeah, I get to go play with C.J. Stroud. He's going to throw me the rock. I think that similar things could be said about the Patriots, or at least about Drake May, in the future, depending on how this season goes. I expect it and hope that it goes very well, but I guess, you know, only time will tell. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the text line as well. We are also live on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Just go to Twitch, search WEEI, pop right up. You'll see my lovely mug right there on the screen for you. Originally, it was Shyman Fitzy. Fitzy has been dealing with some technical issues. The Gremlins, as Jackson called them aptly, have been working their mischief in our Comrex units. And so it's just Shyme right at the moment. We will be back with more here on the replacement Greg Hill Show with Shyme.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Culture and organization, you know, like, it's a big league. We talk in between the guys all the time. Everybody talks about their experience in the past teams, and I haven't heard a bad thing in my 11 years about Bruins culture, Bruins team, and the players who played here. So pretty much it was no-brainer for me when we found out the Bruins were interested in me to come and play for them, and it was mutual. I think Boston was up top of my list my whole life. There's the city of winners, and the fans expect you to win and do good every year. And I like the challenges. You know, I played in the big markets. I played big market in Vancouver. It's always fun when you embrace that challenge and expect high expectation, you know, pressure, and you just bring your best every night. And I think that's perfect place for me, and I will fit right in for sure.
That was Nikita Zadorov after getting signed by the Boston Bruins and the Sweeneyist himself, Don Sweeney, earlier this week. And I just wanted to do a quick couple minutes here on the Boston Bruins. I know that the season has been over now for a little while. It was a little disappointing, but with NHL free agency kicking off this week, I thought it was something I wanted to discuss real quick, because I felt like the Nikita Zadorov signing to me was a signal from the organization that they felt they needed to get a little bit more physical, that they needed to change a little bit of the DNA of what this team is. And Zadorov brings that. He said also in his introductory press conference, he no longer wants to be referred to as Big Z, because that is a Zdeno Chara nickname here. And so now I have seen on Twitter, and I am fully behind the fact that we should in fact call him Zaddy. He is the new Zaddy of the Boston Bruins, because this man is a behemoth. He's awesome. He's exactly the kind of physicality you wanted to add. I know Greg had been kind of crowing for or pining for a guy like this for quite a while.
Even, talk to me, Daddy.
Yeah, talk to me, Zaddy. Like, that's where we're at. And like I said, I know Greg had been looking for a guy like this since the trade deadline. Greg kind of wanted them to go out and get a guy that has physical attributes the way Zadorov does. And he is going to be a force. He's going to punish the other team. He's not going to allow you to kind of just skate around and do whatever you want. He's going to be far more physical than the presence this team has presented in the last couple of seasons, right? And I think that adds a new element to this Bruins lineup that I don't think was there previously. And then you add a guy like Elias Lindholm, who I love. I think that was a good signing. Did you overpay a little bit in length of the contract? Yes, in actual money terms, not necessarily. I feel like it could have been better if you could have done like 5 for $8. $8 million seems to be right around where the market was on Elias Lindholm. You got him at 7.75, which is good, but you had to give him that 7-year deal. But they're clearly showing you they're willing to make the investment. And it's something that the New England Patriots and the Boston Red Sox aren't doing and haven't done. And we've been complaining about it. And so I have to give the Boston Bruins credit where credit is due, right? The Sweeneyist, my guy, went out and he said, we have these guys targeted. Sweeney said after signing Lindholm that he has had his eye on Elias Lindholm now for a couple of years. And like, they attempted to get him at deadlines, couldn't get a deal done. They attempted to get him the night of the draft, couldn't get it done. So they're like, all right, well, first day of free agency, he's available. We're going to give him a contract that he can't refuse. That's exactly what Sweeney did. He had a goal. He had a guy he targeted. He went and he got him. I think that's all you can ever ask of your GM, right? They identified legitimate talent. I mean, this guy's going to be your first line centerman. It's not like they signed some depth piece. It's not like last year when you signed Morgan Geeky, who I like, but he's not some franchise changer or game changer and by any stretch. You signed a guy who's going to be your first line center. It allows Pavel Zacha to play out in the wing. More natural position for him instead of playing center. He got his ass handed to him at the dot in the playoffs. So it's nice to have a guy like Lindholm, a guy that they felt had a lot of Patrice Bergeron qualities to him. And that's, I mean, every fan on the planet wants to hear that. Everybody misses Bergeron and what he brought to the team. And so to have elements of that back, a lot of fans are excited for. And I don't necessarily see, you know, Bergeron in Lindholm's game all that much, but I think having a legitimate number one center on this team makes a difference. It allows everybody to kind of filter down into their natural positions. Like I said, Zaka kicks out to wing. Coyle's your number two center, probably a skosh high for where you want him to be, but that's okay. And then Patra's able to play in the third line center. Or if you need Frederick to slide into center on the third line, you can. And then you still have a guy like Johnny Beecher playing on your fourth line. And going back to the Zadorov signing, where they're clearly showing you they want more size, more physicality. In the Linus Olmark trade, they get a guy like Kastelic. And then in free agency, they sign a guy like Max Jones. Not Mac Jones, thank you. Max Jones. Both guys who are bigger, beefier dudes who are going to add a little bit of physicality.
You know who's going to love that? And especially Zadorov is Mike Milbury, I think. I think that he's a Milbury-type guy.
Yeah, I'm really curious. We haven't had Milbury on. We had him on.
We had him on right before they got these guys.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm curious. I'm excited to hear from Milbury again later on, probably in the summer before the NHL training camp and such gets underway. I'm curious to hear his thoughts on Zadorov because I feel like you're right, Jackson. I think Zadorov is a guy that Milbury probably loves and feels like they need.
Yeah, big powerhouse guy, clear the front of the net guy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to be playing with a guy like Charlie McAvoy, who's going to be flying around the ice, whereas Zadorov can be more of your stay-at-home guy, your classic stay-at-home.
Yeah, kind of like you said, it moves the other pieces into place. Kind of moves McAvoy kind of into piece too, because you know, like you said, he's a fast guy. He's not going to be sitting in front of the net.
And you're not going to ask McAvoy or Hampus Lindholm now to do things that they're uncomfortable with, right? Last year, when you put McAvoy and Lindholm together, they kind of wanted to do a lot of the same things. They want to get deep in the offensive zone. They want to be a part of the offense. They want to impact the play. But there needs to be some give and take because those guys also need to be able to get back on defense and to stay at home at times, right? But by getting a guy like Zadorov, you put Zadorov with McAvoy, it helps enforce on that line with McAvoy so that McAvoy doesn't have to worry about that quite as much. It allows McAvoy to be more offensively minded. And then Lindholm could be playing with Carlo, which Carlo does the same thing Zadorov does, right? Like you find similar patterns. Carlo and Zadorov are similar. Carlo's going to be more of a stay-at-home guy, more of a defensive-first defenseman. He's not going to be as much involved in the offensive play, which allows Lindholm to get involved. And the same thing when you get down to the third pairing. Peak is going to be a little bit more on the stay-at-home side, whereas Lauri is going to want to get more involved, and then you can still mix in a guy like Parker Watherspoon.
Yep, checks a lot of boxes, balances things up very well, I think.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the Bruins, I think, are doing it the right way, right? I think the Red Sox should take a page out of what the Boston Bruins are doing because they're signing a couple of guys, not a lot, right? They didn't go hog wild with this. They picked two guys that they really wanted to target. They brought them in that are going to fill major positions, and now they're going to start filling in the cracks with young talent that they feel like is coming up through their ranks. Guys like Fabian Lysell are going to get opportunities here. Morgan Geeky is a young guy you took a shot on last year. You're going to see if he gets an opportunity. Brazo and Beecher are going to get more opportunities this year. So you're going to have younger guys kind of coming up through the ranks, which is what the Red Sox should be doing, but they're not. 617-779-7937. I see Jay on the line there. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back here. But we got to hit a break first. It is Just Scheim. No Fitzy filling in right now because he is dealing with some technical issues. Here we're filling in for the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
The culture and the organization, you know, like, it's a big league. We talk in between the guys all the time. Everybody talks about their experience in the past teams, and I haven't heard a bad thing in my 11 years about Bruins culture, Bruins team, and the players who played here. So pretty much it was no-brainer for me when we found out the Bruins were interested in me to come and play for them, and it was mutual. I think Boston was top of my list my whole life. There's the city of winners, and the fans expect you to win and do good every year. And I like the challenges. You know, I played in the big markets. I played big market in Vancouver. It's always fun when you embrace that challenge and expect high expectation, you know, pressure, and you just bring your best every night. And I think that's perfect place for me, and I will fit right in for sure.
That was Nikita Zadorov after getting signed by the Boston Bruins and the Sweeneyist himself, Don Sweeney, earlier this week. And I just wanted to do a quick couple minutes here on the Boston Bruins. I know that the season has been over now for a little while. It was a little disappointing, but with NHL free agency kicking off this week, I thought it was something I wanted to discuss real quick, because I felt like the Nikita Zadorov signing to me was a signal from the organization that they felt they needed to get a little bit more physical, that they needed to change a little bit of the DNA of what this team is. And Zadorov brings that. He said also in his introductory press conference, he no longer wants to be referred to as Big Z, because that is a Zdeno Chara nickname here. And so now I have seen on Twitter, and I am fully behind the fact that we should in fact call him Zaddy. He is the new Zaddy of the Boston Bruins, because this man is a behemoth. He's awesome. He's exactly the kind of physicality you wanted to add. I know Greg had been kind of crowing for or pining for a guy like this for quite a while.
Talk to me, Daddy.
Yeah, talk to me, Zaddy. Like, that's where we're at. And like I said, I know Greg had been looking for a guy like this since the trade deadline. Greg kind of wanted them to go out and get a guy that has physical attributes the way Zadorov does. And he is going to be a force. He's going to punish the other team. He's not going to allow you to kind of just skate around and do whatever you want. He's going to be far more physical than the presence this team has presented in the last couple of seasons, right? And I think that adds a new element to this Bruins lineup that I don't think was there previously. And then you add a guy like Elias Lindholm, who I love. I think that was a good signing. Did you overpay a little bit in length of the contract? Yes, in actual money terms, not necessarily. I feel like it could have been better if you could have done like 5 for $8. $8 million seems to be right around where the market was on Elias Lindholm. You got him at 7.75, which is good, but you had to give him that 7-year deal. But they're clearly showing you they're willing to make the investment. And it's something that the New England Patriots and the Boston Red Sox aren't doing and haven't done. And we've been complaining about it. And so I have to give the Boston Bruins credit where credit is due, right? The Sweeneyist, my guy, went out and he said, we have these guys targeted. Sweeney said after signing Lindholm that he has had his eye on Elias Lindholm now for a couple of years. And like, they attempted to get him at deadlines, couldn't get a deal done. They attempted to get him the night of the draft, couldn't get it done. So they're like, all right, well, first day of free agency, he's available. We're going to give him a contract that he can't refuse. That's exactly what Sweeney did. He had a goal. He had a guy he targeted. He went and he got him. I think that's all you can ever ask of your GM, right? They identified legitimate talent. I mean, this guy's going to be your first line centerman. It's not like they signed some depth piece. It's not like last year when you signed Morgan Geeky, who I like, but he's not some franchise changer or game changer and by any stretch. You signed a guy who's going to be your first line center. It allows Pavel Zacha to play out in the wing. More natural position for him instead of playing center. He got his ass handed to him at the dot in the playoffs. So it's nice to have a guy like Lindholm, a guy that they felt had a lot of Patrice Bergeron qualities to him. And that's, I mean, every fan on the planet wants to hear that. Everybody misses Bergeron and what he brought to the team. And so to have elements of that back, a lot of fans are excited for. And I don't necessarily see, you know, Bergeron in Lindholm's game all that much, but I think having a legitimate number one center on this team makes a difference. It allows everybody to kind of filter down into their natural positions. Like I said, Zacha kicks out to wing. Coyle's your number two center, probably a skosh high for where you want him to be, but that's okay. And then Patra's able to play in the third line center. Or if you need Frederick to slide into center on the third line, you can. And then you still have a guy like Johnny Beecher playing on your fourth line. And going back to the Zadorov signing, where they're clearly showing you they want more size, more physicality. In the Linus Olmark trade, they get a guy like Kastelic,
And then in free agency, they sign a guy like Max Jones. Not Mac Jones, thank you. Max Jones. Both guys who are bigger, beefier dudes who are going to add a little bit of physicality.
You know who's going to love that? And especially Zadorov is Mike Milbury, I think. I think that he's a Milbury-type guy.
Yeah, I'm really curious. We haven't had Milbury on. We had him on.
We had him on right before they got these guys.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm curious. I'm excited to hear from Milbury again later on, probably in the summer before the NHL training camp and such gets underway. I'm curious to hear his thoughts on Zadorov because I feel like you're right, Jackson. I think Zadorov is a guy that Milbury probably loves and feels like they need.
Yeah, big powerhouse guy, clear the front of the net guy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to be playing with a guy like Charlie McAvoy, who's going to be flying around the ice, whereas Zadorov can be more of your stay-at-home guy, your classic stay-at-home.
Yeah, kind of like you said, it moves the other pieces into place. Kind of moves McAvoy kind of into piece too, because you know, like you said, he's a fast guy. He's not going to be sitting in front of the net.
And you're not going to ask McAvoy or Hampus Lindholm now to do things that they're uncomfortable with, right? Last year, when you put McAvoy and Lindholm together, they kind of wanted to do a lot of the same things. They want to get deep in the offensive zone. They want to be a part of the offense. They want to impact the play. But there needs to be some give and take because those guys also need to be able to get back on defense and to stay at home at times, right? But by getting a guy like Zadorov, you put Zadorov with McAvoy, it helps enforce on that line with McAvoy so that McAvoy doesn't have to worry about that quite as much. It allows McAvoy to be more offensively minded. And then Lindholm could be playing with Carlo, which Carlo does the same thing Zadorov does, right? Like you find similar patterns. Carlo and Zadorov are similar. Carlo's going to be more of a stay-at-home guy, more of a defensive-first defenseman. He's not going to be as much involved in the offensive play, which allows Lindholm to get involved. And the same thing when you get down to the third pairing. Peak is going to be a little bit more on the stay-at-home side, whereas Lauri is going to want to get more involved, and then you can still mix in a guy like Parker Wotherspoon.
Yep, checks a lot of boxes, balances things up very well, I think.
Yeah, and then on top of that, the Bruins, I think, are doing it the right way, right? I think the Red Sox should take a page out of what the Boston Bruins are doing because they're signing a couple of guys, not a lot, right? They didn't go hog wild with this. They picked two guys that they really wanted to target. They brought them in that are going to fill major positions, and now they're going to start filling in the cracks with young talent that they feel like is coming up through their ranks. Guys like Fabian Lysell are going to get opportunities here. Morgan Geeky is a young guy you took a shot on last year. You're going to see if he gets an opportunity. Brazo and Beecher are going to get more opportunities this year. So you're going to have younger guys kind of coming up through the ranks, which is what the Red Sox should be doing. But they're not. 617-779-7937. I see Jay on the line there. We're going to get to you as soon as we come back here. But we got to hit a break first. It is Just Scheim. No Fitzy filling in right now because he is dealing with some technical issues. Here we're filling in for the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.